You're listening to KZSU, Stanford. Oh no. Wait, oh. Okay. No, that's not the sound. This is definitely not what I had in mind. This is a Cranky Kid Show.
Once upon a time, there was a queen.
I wish I had a child as white as snow, that's as red as blood, and black as ebony.
Soon after, the queen gave birth to such a child, and then she died. The daughter she left behind was called Little Snow White. A year passed, and the king took another wife, who was beautiful but proud and haughty.
I will have no one else surpass me in my beauty. Looking glass on the wall. Who in this land is the fairest of all?
Thou, O queen, art the fairest of all.
But Little Snow White grew more and more beautiful each day. When she turned 7, she was more beautiful than the new queen.
Looking glass on the wall. Who in this land is the fairest of all?
Snow White.
The queen was furious to hear this, and she called in a huntsman.
Take the child away and kill her. Bring back a lung and liver as a token.
The huntsman pretended to kill Little Snow White, but he killed a wild boar instead. He took its lung and liver back to the queen as proof the child was dead, and the queen ate them.
Yum!
Little Snow White ran and ran until she spied a little cottage. Inside, a table was set for 7. She ate and drank only a tiny bit from each plate and mug. 7 little beds were lined up against the wall, and she fell asleep in the 7th. The owners of the cottage were dwarfs, who dug for ore, and they came home to the cottage soon after.
Who has been sitting in my chair?
Who has been eating off my plate?
Who has been eating my bread?
Who has eaten some of my vegetables?
Who has been using my fork?
Who has been using my knife?
Who has been drinking from my mug?
Then the first one noticed that his bed was noosed.
Who has been lying in my bed?
And mine!
And mine too!
And mine!
And mine too!
And mine!
And wait a minute, there's someone in mine.
They went and got their 7 little candles and crowded around the bed.
Heavens! Oh heavens! What a lovely child!
Why are you in our house?
She introduced herself and told them her story.
You can care for this house if you cook, clean, wash, sew, and knit. You will want for nothing.
Yes, thank you. That sounds like an excellent idea.
Because she would be alone in the house all day, they warned her.
But the queen will soon know that you are here. Don't let anyone into this house when we are away.
Some weeks later, the queen went back to her looking glass.
Looking glass on the wall! Who in this land is the fairest of all?
Oh, queen, thou art the fairest of all I see. But over the hills where the 7 dwarfs dwell, Snow White is alive and well, and none is so fair as she.
Ah! So that huntsman betrayed me! Well, I shall paint my face and dress like an old peddler woman!
And this she did, so no one would recognize her. She went over the 7 mountains to the home of the 7 dwarfs and knocked on their door.
Good things I sell very cheap and very pretty.
Good day to you. What have you to sell?
Pretty stay laces for tying your corset.
Oh my, those look lovely. You may come in.
Oh, but look at you. You look a fright. Come, let me lace you up proper.
The queen laced her up so quickly and so tightly that Little Snow White lost her breath and fell to the ground as if dead.
Fool! Now I am the most beautiful!
When the dwarfs returned later, they saw that her stay laces were too tight, so they cut them off. Little Snow White began to breathe again and told them what had happened.
That was no old woman! That was the wicked queen! Don't let anyone into this house when we are away!
When the queen arrived back at the palace, she went over to her looking glass.
Looking glass on the wall! Who in this land is the fairest of all?
Oh, queen, thou art the fairest of all I see. But over the hills where the 7 dwarfs dwell, Snow White is alive and well, and none is so fair as she.
The queen was furious.
With the help of witchcraft, I shall make a poisonous comb. That should put an end to her.
So she disguised herself to look like a different old woman and again went over to the Seven Mountains to where the Seven Dwarfs lived and knocked on their door.
Pretty things I sell very pretty, very cheap. Go away and not to let anyone in. Well, just look then.
Oh my, that's very pretty. You make a mess.
Oh, let me comb your hair for you all proper.
As soon as the comb was placed in her hair, little Snow White fell down senseless.
Ah, at last you are done for, you little beauty.
Fortunately, the dwarfs arrived home early and removed the poison comb. Little Snow White told them what happened.
That was the Wicked Queen again. Don't let anyone, I beat Pete, anyone into this house when we are away.
Back at the palace, the queen went to the looking glass once more.
Looking glass on the wall. Who in this land is the fairest of all?
Snow White.
Snow White shall die no matter what it takes, even if it costs my life.
This time, she made a poisonous apple, disguised herself as a farmer's wife, and knocked on the door.
Go away. I am not to let anyone in. The Seven Dwarfs have forbidden it.
That's all the same to me, because pretty soon I'm going to be rid of my pretty apples. Here, I'll give you one try.
I shouldn't take anything.
Do you think it might be poisoned? Here, I'll have the white part, and you can have the sweet red cheeks.
Queen's part had no poison, so little Snow White took a bite of her piece and fell down dead.
Ah, 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 ah. White as snow, red as blood, black as ebony, the Seven Dwarfs will not awake you!
The dwarfs came home that evening and found little Snow White no longer breathing.
Well, we can't bury her in the dark, cold ground. We shall put her in a coffin made of glass and write her name upon it in gold letters so that everyone will know she was the king's daughter.
They carried this coffin up to the top of their mountain, and one of the dwarfs always stayed with it to guard her. A long, long time passed, and she looked as though she were asleep. One day, a prince from another kingdom came to the mountain and saw the coffin with Snow White.
Please let me have this coffin as a gift. I cannot live without seeing Snow White. I promise I will honor and treasure her.
The dwarfs took pity on the prince and let him have the coffin.
Okay, you can have her.
As the coffin was jostled, a poisonous piece of apple popped out of her throat and out of her mouth.
My goodness, where am I?
You are here with me. I love you more than anything. Please come to my father's palace and be my wife.
Okay.
And so she went with the prince. The Wicked Queen was invited to their wedding. She didn't want to go to this wedding, but she had to see this beautiful young queen for herself.
Oh my goodness! It's Snow White!
Iron slippers had been put in the fire and were brought to her. She was forced to put on these red hot shoes and dance until she dropped down dead. The end.
That was another in our series, Grimly Speaking, based on the tales of the Brothers Grimm.
That radio.
But Mother, it is the best music of the day. How will I fit in with my classmates if I am not hep to the jive?
Hep your jive some other time. You're waking up Godzilla.
Godzilla? The sleeping monster in Tokyo Bay who wakes up now and then and stomps downtown Tokyo to the ground?
That's the one.
Why does he always go for that part of the city?
No one's ever been able to figure that out yet.
And what's he doing here in Portsmouth?
No, it's too late. You've awakened him.
Look, he's setting for the mall of everything you could ever possibly think of buying.
Run away, run away. He's pulling the shops apart one by one.
Maybe he's looking for some scale freshener. He's probably all slimy from being in the water so much.
Or maybe he's looking for a giant toothbrush to get rid of all that fishy smell on his breath.
Look, he's eating the TV crew from Channel 9.
They must be doing an internal investigative report.
But look again, he keeps pausing at the shoe stores.
What can this mean?
Mother, in all the years you've seen Godzilla, has he ever had any shoes on?
No, I don't think so. You mean...
Yes, somehow he must be trying to fit in with his classmates.
By wearing shoes.
He's holding on to a pair of sandals.
He looks sad.
What can we do? Do 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 do.
And so they gathered all their friends, turned up the music, and began making the largest, coolest pair of summer footgear they could. Just to make certain they fit, the kids placed the right shoe on top of their junior high school.
Oops!
And the left shoe on top of the local high school.
Wait, put that shoe on top of that loud radio station you listen to.
But Mom...
Just do it. I know what I'm talking about.
Not only did the shoes fit, but with the juice of the radio station surging through his body, Godzilla boogied his way back into the water. Downtown Portsmouth was saved.
Hooray!
Well, we better start working on a wardrobe for him. How about some nice Hawaiian shirts?
Aw, Mom.
That was Looking for Godzilla's Sandals.
Stanford Parking and Transportation Services asks,
is having a good hair day worth a very real risk of paralysis, permanent brain damage, or death if you're involved in a crash on your bike?
Bike helmets reduce head trauma in the event of a collision by up to 85%. Love your brain, wear a helmet. Learn more by visiting bike.stanford.edu.
And now, everyone, it's
time for cows!
Cows from Italy in Queens, New York? Today we are talking to the Chianina.
Wow, this is great. Seeing a Chianina at the Festival of Virgil here in Queens.
Well, of course I'm here. Virgil wrote the Georgics well before he wrote the Aeneid, that national epic poem about Rome and the glory of the empire back in 20 BC or so.
And what are the Georgics?
A collection of poems which taught about the art of husbandry. And husbandry, which, as you well know, is the practice of cultivating the land and raising stock. Geez, I thought everyone knew about the Georgics and husbandry.
Yeah, well, you wish the average pedestrian knew a bit more about where his food came from. But you'll have to forgive them for not reading poems in Latin on the subject. And this, of course, is where you come in.
Absolutely. Virgil loved the Chianina cattle. We are one of the oldest breeds in existence, and we are what he saw as a young man on the farm back in northern Italy.
I can see why you inspired him. You are quite beautiful. You have short white or steel gray hair.
And we have black pigmented skin on our muzzle, and the switch at the end of our tail is also black. We are quite stylish. During Virgil's time, we were used primarily as a draft animal, so our muscular bodies and long legs also inspired the Roman sculptors.
And today, what brings you to Queens besides the festival?
You know, the usual. Being large with considerable length of leg, we have good action and heavy muscling. We are not hard to get along with, if you get my drift.
As long as I don't crowd you?
Yeah, as long as you don't forget the respect we deserve as the bovine exalted by Virgil and the Romans, and the family we have since become. It's all about family, as you may well know.
Ah, yes, I know.
Good, because I'd hate for you to forget that here, at the Festival of Virgil, that it's the Chianina that makes all the rules.
You do.
We do.
I won't forget.
Good. Enjoy your gelato. Carpe lac lactis.
What?
Seize the milk.
This is a Cranky Kid Show.
Studying birds.
Fear.
You're afraid of them?
Oh yes, very much so. Razor sharp beaks to peck your eyes out. Claws that can rip you to shreds. One can never be too wary of our feathered friends.
But don't you have to get close to any bird you're studying?
Absolutely. However, I've discovered a guaranteed method of scaring them off if they look like they're going to attack. It's called the ancient chogan. Would you like me to demonstrate?
Please do.
Would you like me to do it again?
Please don't. That was awful. How did you discover this?
Anna, that's an excellent question. One day, I was following a flock of fancy flamingos through the bog. And all of a sudden, I heard this cry, and whoosh! Up went flamingos and every other bird in the bog. It was a madhouse. And all that was left was this tiny little puff of a creature, no bigger than my palm.
And that was a chogan?
Absolutely. I believe they are a direct descendant of the giant pterodactyl. But I've never been able to catch one, you see.
Because they're so fast?
Oh, no. Because they probably go deaf in the process. They're so loud.
Hey, I get your point.
Sorry about that. I get a little carried away sometimes.
Well, what are your favorite birds to study?
That'd have to be the grebes and barbets. Oh, and let us not forget the hooded itsehooty. It's poisonous, you know.
Really?
Yes, very poisonous. Just gave one to a friend the other day. We had a little fight, you see. So I thought I'd make amends with a gift of a hooded itsehooty.
And did your friend like it?
Yes, very much so. Right up until he began to stiffen and lose consciousness. Terribly sad. Terrible.
So sorry to hear. This is Kate Bishop from the CCC Continuous Caveman Coverage.
Welcome to Pleistocene Ice Age Pizza, where crow magnates can have it their way.
Yes, we have all your fossil favorites here at Pleistocene Pizza.
Try our Paleolithic Pizza Supreme with Precambrian portobellos, bison bits, and our own celebrated tomato grub sauce.
Wash it all down using these nifty Triassic tumblers for the adults and Jurassic jelly jars for the toddlers, all filled with our salivating Stone Age soda made from real ginkgo leaves.
And those mammoth munchies are on your rock at all times.
They're carboniferous.
Not in the mood for pizza? We'll have a mastodon steak with a fried pterodactyl wing on the side.
Or how about a little saber-tooth sushi?
If it's your birthday, we'll send a Cenozoic cheesecake special right to your rock at no extra charge. You heard me, no extra charge.
Can't come to us?
We'll come to you.
No matter how small your order, we'll send a Neanderthal to your door before you can spell epoch.
And remember, we use no primates in our cooking.
That's Pleistocene Ice Age Pizza,
where Cro-Magnons can have it their way.
To have Fabrico, a first-class caveman fashion designer. Tell us, is it hard to design for the average caveman?
Oh yes, it's extremely hard. It's all because of their bad posture, you know. It makes it very hard to get any good-looking effects when you drape the fabric. And let's face it, draping is in, very in.
What sort of material do you use?
Well now, that's a good question. Most cavemen are hooked on wearing skins from animals, but here in our cave, we're weaving like mad. And let me tell you, you can do a lot more for the average caveman with woven fabric. For one thing, it doesn't clash so much.
Clash?
Positively, my dear. Sometimes the caveman is hairier than the beast he's wearing. A real eyesore. Of course, we do run into that problem from another direction, which is why I discourage the use of very light fabrics.
Because
then all their hair pokes through. I mean, really, there's nothing worse than seeing a shirt literally stuck to the caveman who's wearing it. You know what I mean. By the way, where'd you get that perky little number you have on?
Oh, this? It's just something I picked up from Skins R Us.
Really? It looks quite good on you. Not a lot of cavemen can get away with the woolly mammoth look.
Why, thank you. Any tips for our viewers?
Yes. Stay away from that extinct stuff. It's cheap and flimsy. Stay simple and accessorize, accessorize, accessorize. Oh, and next season we're introducing something brand new. They're called shoes.
Shoes?
Yes, you wear them on your feet. Trust me, everyone is going to love them. We would have introduced them this season, but we haven't figured out whether one or two will work best. We're still in the tripping stage, you see. Models are everywhere, plummeting to the floor, right and left. It's a mess, but oh well, what can one do?
Yes, well, I'm certain our viewers will be looking forward to shoes. Thank you again. This is Talk A Lot for the CCC, Continuous Caveman Coverage.
Once upon a time, there was a miller who boasted that his pretty daughter could spin straw into gold. The king heard about this and demanded that this girl be brought to him. The king took her to a room full of straw and gave her a spinning wheel.
Now get to work. If by morning you have not spun this straw into gold, you shall die.
He then locked the door and left. The poor girl sat there and had no idea what to do. Eventually, she began to weep. Then suddenly, the door opened and a little man came in.
Good evening, young mistress. Why are you crying?
The king says I must spin straw into gold or I must die, and I don't know how to spin straw into gold.
What will you give me if I do it for you?
The girl gave him her necklace. The little man sat down and spun and spun and spun all through the night. In the morning, all the straw was gone, and only reels of gold remained. The king was delighted, but his heart became more greedy. He took the girl to a much larger room filled with straw.
If by morning you have not spun the straw into gold, you shall die.
Once more, the poor girl sat and had no idea what to do. She was weeping when the door opened, and again the little man came in.
What will you give me this time?
The girl gave him the ring on her finger, and in the morning all the straw was gone and only reels of gold remained. The king rejoiced, but wanted even more gold. He took the girl to an even larger room filled with straw.
If by morning you have spun this straw into gold, you shall be my wife.
When the girl was alone, the door opened again.
And what will you give me this time?
I have nothing left to give.
Then you must promise me your first child, should you become queen.
The girl, without knowing what else to do, promised she would. And so the straw was spun into gold, and the king married the miller's pretty daughter, and she became queen. A year later, the queen gave birth to a beautiful child. She never thought about the little man until suddenly he came into her room.
Now you must give me what you promised.
Please, I'll give you all the riches in the kingdom if you leave me my child.
No! Something that is alive is more dear to me than treasures.
The queen began crying and cried so much that the little man took pity on her.
I will give you 3 days to find out my name. If you fail, I shall keep your child.
So, for the entire night, the queen thought of all the names she had ever heard. She sent 2 messengers to go far and wide into the country and gather some more. The next day, the little man returned.
Casper?
That is not my name!
Melchior?
That is not my name!
Balthazar?
That is not my name!
Well, so much for the names of the 3 wise men bearing gifts in the New Testament.
And the queen continued to say all the names she knew, and with each name, the little man replied,
That is not my name!
On the second day, she repeated the most uncommon and curious names that she had heard from inquiring in the neighborhood.
Short ribs?
That is not my name.
Sheepshanks?
That is not my name.
Lace leg?
That is not my name.
On the third day, her messengers returned.
We were unable to find any new names, but on the way back, we did find a little house high on top of a mountain. Inside, there was a little man hopping around a fire on 1 leg and shouting.
What did he say?
Today I bake, tomorrow I brew. The next I'll have the young queen's child. Ha! Glad am I that no one knew that Rumpelstiltskin I am styled.
Just then, the little man came in.
Now, my young queen, what is my name?
Is your name Conrad?
No!
Is it Harry?
No!
Then perhaps your name is Rumpelstiltskin.
No! The devil told you that! The devil told you that!
And in his anger, he plunged his right foot so deep into the ground that his entire leg went in. With both hands, he then pulled his left leg so hard that he tore himself in two. The end. That was another in our series, Grimly Speaking, based on the tales of the Brothers Grimm. This brings us to the end of the Cranky Kids Radio Show. More information about Cranky Kids can be found at crankykids.com. That's cranky with a K. crankykids.com. Until the next time, everyone stay well and do have fun. Bye now.